listening to the Heritage Film Club podcast show. It's three lads chatting about a movie that one of them forced the others to watch. If you're looking for an in-depth analysis of your favourite movies, boy, have you come to the wrong place. My fancy British accent is as smart as this show will ever sound. These guys barely know what they're talking about. It's time to sit back, relax and enjoy. Welcome to the club. Now here are your hosts, Mike, Brian and Clayton.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays.
And welcome to the bonus episode for Christmas of the Heritage Film Club, where we're going to talk Jingle All the Way. Yeah, welcome. Hope your Christmas is going well. Well enough that you saved this for after the day. And, I can't. I really don't know how to intro this episode at all. It's ridiculous. Oh, man. Okay, Clayton.
Yeah, man, do you want me to intro it?
Do you want to intro it?
Yeah, man. I just wing it.
Good man. Go get him.
Okay, intro it, and then I'll go into the summary.
Okay.
Okay, ready? Hang on, just leave a pause for a minute.
Hold up, what's our name? Heritage Film Club, eh? Or Heritage Film Pod?
The Heritage Film Club.
All right, sweet.
Okay, and go.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you all. Welcome to our bonus episode. Yes, it's a Christmas episode where the Heritage Film Club goes in depth and discusses the Christmas movie we have selected, which is Jingle All the Way.
All right, and with that, welcome. We're going to do Jingle All the Way, which stars Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sinbad as two rival fathers, workaholic Howard Langston, played by Schwarzenegger, and stressed-out postal worker Myron, both desperately trying to purchase a Turbo Man action figure for their respective sons on Christmas Eve. But no one told them Turbo Man is the hottest toy of the season, and it's been sold out for weeks. Holiday hijinks ensue, involving Santa Claus crime rings, reindeer punching, and superhero shenanigans in the seemingly overlooked Yuletide classic.
Every holiday season, there's one toy everyone has to have.
I want the Turbo Man action figure with the arms and legs that move, and the rock and roll jetpack, and the boomerang shooter.
Getting it is every child's dream.
Whoever doesn't can be a real loser.
Finding it.
You got the doll, right?
Is this father's nightmare.
I'll get that toy. I promise.
All right, guys. Merry Christmas, fellas.
Merry Christmas, sir.
Merry Christmas.
All right, you ready to talk some Jingle All the Way?
Hell yeah.
Yep.
All right, well then it's turbo time. So, Jingle All the Way from 1996, directed by Brian Levant. I've probably pronounced that wrong, but he was the director behind Beethoven, the Big Dog movie, the Flintstones live-action movie, Snow Dogs, and Ice Cube's Are We There Yet? It was produced by Chris Columbus, who, of course, is the director behind another Christmas classic, Home Alone, as well as Mrs. Doubtfire, Harry Potter, and Percy Jackson. This movie, which should clearly be more fondly talked about in the holiday season, because it stars not only the Terminator, but Anakin Skywalker, Tom Hanks's wife, and... you may remember him from such roles as Troy McClure on The Simpsons, Mr. Phil Hartman. It had a budget of $5 million and took $129.8 million at the box office.
Damn!
You've got to be kidding me.
Nope, $129.8 million.
$5 million to make.
But that reaction from Brian is pointing towards how he feels about this movie. All right, so it's got an IMDb score of 5.6, Metacritic score of only 34%. Now, Rotten Tomatoes. Go on, guys. Critics or audience?
Audience.
Audience.
Yeah, audience for sure.
Yeah. All right, it is a pretty big gap, but it's still pretty low. So critics gave it 15%,
ooh,
and audience gave it 38%.
And they still spent $129 million on it.
No, they made the audience did, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have to see it to know if it sucks or not.
It's what reviews are for. Frankly, that's what we're for. Except we're a little late.
Way after the fact. We're like retro reviews.
Yeah.
All right, so stay tuned at the end of this episode where we give our rating, and I'm very interested to see how that goes. All right, so I think that's a good opening summary. We'll do a quick roundtable, just say if we liked it or not. It's probably not going to be many surprises here. And then we'll just do a big free-for-all, I think, and just have a chat. So, Jared, did you like the movie?
So I watched it today for the first time. I'd never seen it before, and I actually really enjoyed it. Like, nice. It was cheesy, but I just thought it was really fun. Good Christmas movie.
Nice. Brian?
I liked it. Oh. Up to a point.
Was it the point, the Christmas parade?
Yeah. Bang on. There were some rumblings before that, but Christmas parade, and yeah.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that in a minute.
Let's.
Right, Clayton?
Yeah, it was there.
Oh, that's like, not the
like, no, like I enjoyed it. I mean, my kids enjoyed it more. I watched it with them.
Okay, what were their takeaways?
Oh, I'll get into that a bit later.
Where are we there now?
Oh, okay. I asked them three questions, and the three questions were, this is the movie, Jingle All the Way. What do you think about the title? My six-year-old said it sounded dumb and he wants to watch Elf. And my four-year-old was like, okay. Then I asked them what did they like about the movie after they actually watched it. They both liked the Santa Parade.
Okay.
But there is a reason why they liked the Santa Parade. They liked the Santa fight scene. They liked Turbo Man. The loudest pop in our household for the whole movie was Sonic the Hedgehog in the Santa Parade.
Yeah.
If there was an MVP chosen by my boys, it would be Sonic the Hedgehog, not Turbo Man.
The whole 2 seconds on screen.
Yeah, it was completely crazy. What they didn't like about it, well, nothing except one of them didn't like the reindeer.
Well, that's fair enough. It's not exactly a nice reindeer.
Yeah, so, I mean, they enjoyed watching it. I enjoyed watching it with them, but, yeah, it was there, put it that way.
So it's not going to enter your rotation of holiday movies?
No, not mine, but, I mean, the kids will probably choose it. So, I mean, if they choose to watch it, sweet as. But, I mean, they want to watch Elf, so go figure.
Probably a more suitable movie compared to Elf for their age range.
Oh, yeah, I think they just like Elf because he's a giant elf.
Yeah, fair enough. Hot take, I really dislike that movie, but I seem to be in the vast minority. I'm sure Brian will back me up because he just doesn't like Will Ferrell.
So. Never seen it.
Have you never seen Elf?
Next year?
That's a Jon Favreau movie too. And we discussed Jon Favreau recently.
We did.
On our social media. So, okay, yeah, I liked it. Jared's right. It has some cheesy moments, but it is a Christmas movie. So that's to be expected and forgiven, I think. I was all in until parts of the Christmas parade. Not the Christmas parade in general, but once they started trying to do special effects that their budget couldn't handle, it sort of took me out a little bit. But again, a little bit of forgiveness because it's a holiday movie. But on the other hand, it's a Schwarzenegger movie, so come on, man. All right, so there you go. That was slightly different than I expected. I don't know about you guys. I thought Clayton would be all over this because it's so Power Rangers-y.
Oh, yeah, like for the boys, it was enjoyable. But for me, I've seen it before, and I'm just like, eh. I mean, if there was other Christmas movies I could pick, I'd pick other Christmas movies to watch. But, I mean, it was enjoyable, put it that way.
All right, cool. Yes. All right, well, let's just go through. Well, since you brought it up, the Christmas Parade, there was quite a few cool cameos in that.
Ninja Turtles,
yeah.
Ernie.
Yep. And actually, this movie, I have to say, has probably more Marvel characters than Avengers Endgame. Because, my gosh, it's like Marvel sponsored this movie.
They were everywhere, weren't they?
My goodness. It was the kids' bedroom had a big and awesome Captain America mural painted on the wall. It had the Hulk mask on the wall, which was a nice nod because Arnold Schwarzenegger had been up for the role of the Incredible Hulk before passing and Lou Ferrigno taking it. It had, well, the toy shop was it's like when you watch The Big Bang Theory and they go into a comic shop and it's only DC because Warner Brothers makes that TV show, it was like this. Everywhere they went, it was just X-Men toys. Because back then there was no such thing as the Avengers in the pop culture like it is today. But yeah, that was quite interesting to see. I guess that's when Marvel was going through its Chapter 11 and was giving everybody access to those things for product placement and money.
Use our characters, yeah. Make a donation.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so this was Schwarzenegger's, I think, fourth comedy. It'll come up in the trivia later. But I think it's one of those things that every manly action star seems to go through a phase of. So he definitely did it with movies like Junior and Twins.
Kindergarten Cop,
which is mm-hmm. a great movie.
Yeah.
And then obviously Vin Diesel did it with The Pacifier, but I think he quickly went back to his normal stuff. And The Rock obviously did it for a very long time, but thankfully decided to go back to action movies. And now his sort of family movies are not so much kids movies. They're just things like Jumanji and Jungle Cruise and things. But what do you guys think of Schwarzenegger in this movie?
Not really a great actor or performance, but I mean, like, for the role, it's all right. I can forgive it.
I feel like that comes out way more when he's doing this sort of movie that doesn't rely on guns and muscles. Mm-hmm. It really highlights the fact that he lives up to the stereotype, maybe.
Because his arms were covered the whole movie, eh?
Yeah.
No gunnage, huh?
Until he's in that form-fitting, sculpted Turbo Man suit. Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask, is Howard Langston like a traditional Austrian name, or do they just like ignore the fact that he's got this strong accent and make him American?
Every single movie he's in, nobody seems to notice he has an accent.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's a good point. Very good. That's a
very good point.
It's okay. He's just playing an American, but with a very strong Austrian accent. He never seems to actually be playing an Austrian.
Yeah, and there's only like one mention of like how built he is as well. Is when what Ted says, you can't bench press your way out of this.
Yeah, nice, mm-hmm. nice reference to pumping iron.
Good line. Yeah,
it was. Nice.
I like the scene where he's on the phone and talking to his customers, and you're my most important customer. And then he delivers the same line to the wife, and that was funny. But I mean, and you know, he's good in this. But I was thinking, if anybody else less famous had been in the role, would this movie have tanked? Would it have done as well as it did? I have to wonder how much Arnie pulls this along just because it's Arnie.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely name value, especially when your co-stars are Sinbad, who was bigger at the time, but not marquee name value.
No.
And then you've got Phil Hartman, who is very great and beloved, but still not a marquee name to sell a movie on. And even Rita Wilson, Mrs. Hanks, is the same. It definitely did what it did because of Schwarzenegger being attached to it, I'm sure.
Yeah, drags it along, if you like. $129 million worth.
Yeah, I don't know. I never got bored and I never got sort of, like, as I said, I lasted quite positively without eye rolling pretty much until the big fight scene at the end. And that was only because the special effects just look so bad. And it's not because it's a 90s movie. It's because the budget didn't allow. It looks strange.
Yeah.
But I found this fun. I would add this into my Christmas rotation. It wouldn't be an every year movie, but it would definitely get played again. I
enjoyed watching it. You know exactly what you're getting. None of it's a surprise. I mean, it telegraphs the ending really, really early on, going on exactly where this is going.
Yeah.
You know, it's not exactly difficult to figure out, you know, he's going to end up being Turbo Man in the parade. But the point at which it gets to the parade, it just gets weird. It just gets really strange, and all of a sudden he's in the suit where he is genuinely a superhero, and then it becomes something like a Wile E. Coyote Roadrunner cartoon, especially when he hits the wall.
Yeah, that one especially.
Yeah, I was waiting for the anvil. He's flying. He's got the weapons. You know, there's all this stuff going on. And then Sinbad, having been sort of reasonably sympathetic up to that point, you kind of get where he's coming from, despite the fact he keeps threatening people with fake bombs. I mean, it turns out to be a real one.
That didn't do any damage, really.
Exactly. Yeah.
I wanted to talk about that too.
Yeah, when it cut back, the guy might as well have had a cigar in his mouth. You know, the old exploding cigar trick.
The old explosive black face.
Yeah, exactly.
That sounded wrong, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. How long were you in the Bob Squad? And then Sinbad becomes a criminal because basically he kidnaps the kid. And there becomes all sorts of stuff going on. And I'm thinking, okay, you've taken a really weird turn right now. Where did that go? And then it sort of circles back to being, yay, all is okay. And I got my doll, then I gave it away.
Yeah, and I think that's the problem this movie has is Sinbad's character, because he starts as just a rival dad. He's a bit more extreme in his methods. But once it starts getting into him actually committing criminal acts or terrorist acts, it's like, what? How did you forget what movie you're making? It's like...
Pretty much.
Yeah, he turns full supervillain, like, no pun intended, because of how it ends, but he really does. Like, he literally causes a bomb to go off, which blows out. No, this is a Schwarzenegger movie. Yeah. No windows smash.
Nothing.
Nothing. You just see the flash of light up the top.
And, where's Michael Bay when you need him?
Oh, yeah, far away, thankfully. But
well said.
I don't know. It was, and then and when he became the villain at the end, and kidnaps a child to steal a toy, and child endangerment. All over the place in this movie. Nobody seems to care.
Oh,
except for the mother.
Yeah, and she seems to be taking it remarkably well, especially when he's falling, and it's like she's looking, okay, reaction shot.
Yep, exactly. And his, like, you know, when he first turns up, we're skipping right to the end, but when he turns up at the parade and accidentally ends up backstage and the guys mistake him for the person who's supposed to be Turbo Man.
And randomly, too.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, because he's late, right? And he just walks in. They're like, oh, yeah, you're a big dude. You must be Turbo Man. And then they're explaining, like, all these problems it had and all the changes to the instruction manual. He picks it up remarkably fast.
Yeah.
Like, all of the little gadgets, the jetpack. Like, first time he tries the jetpack, he can't fly it. The second time, he's proficient AF with that jetpack. And when he catches his kid and he's flying around, he hasn't even got controls in his hand to control the jetpack. And I know I'm reading way too much into this. Like Jared said in Shape of Water, you don't think of mistakes because you just accept it as part of the movie, but
just take the logic out of it.
You have to. Like,
I'll give you another scene that you gotta take logic out of.
Yeah.
Is, you know, when he's going through the mall and he's trying to catch the ball and he goes through the playground and it ends up in the ball pit and the mum's like, you're a pedophile, get away from my child. And then all the other ladies see what happens, leave their kids in the ball pit, but then just smack him with their bags.
Yeah, well, they've taken care of him.
I'm like, come on, take your kids out of there.
A way bigger lapse in logic or reality in that scene is how that ball bounces through the entire mall without stopping until the little girl catches it. The little girl with the horrible bowl cut. Jeez, that mother should be arrested. Man. But, yeah,
That's not the biggest problem you have with this movie, is it?
The bowl cut on the little girl.
I thought that was a boy to start with.
So did I.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. But
cartoon physics. This movie, they spent $5 million on cartoon physics.
Yeah, totally. This is very much a live action cartoon, and that goes back to the exploding parcel leaving the Looney Tunes esque mark on the policeman's face. That policeman,
the only cop in town.
Jeez.
Everywhere, day and night, doesn't sleep, and he's going to catch everybody.
See, and one cool trivia I read about that, and it's not in my trivia, so I'll just put it out here now since we're talking about him, is that role was originally written for a woman, the cop role, and they ended up casting that guy because they thought, we need a cop that can pull over Arnold and actually make him get out of the car, And I was like, well, that's not the guy you choose. Because even if that was your logic for changing it to a man, mm-hmm. that's an old man.
Like, hey, ageism.
And he's still half the size. Yeah, it is ageism.
You could have cast Brigitte Nielsen for the time.
Yes, there you go. Or Grace Jones.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're having Conan moments now, aren't we?
Here we are.
That's what we're doing. I thought so.
Yeah. But speaking of Conan moments, punching the reindeer.
Yeah.
In the face.
And then feeding it.
Yeah, getting it drunk.
Getting it drunk. But the punching was obviously a callback to Conan, where Arnold apparently, for real, punched a camel in the face. And so now he gets to do it fake and knock a reindeer out with his fist. And that was about the most Arnold moment you get in the movie.
Did everybody like the Santa fight, you know, when they're in the warehouse?
I was not expecting the Big Show to show up.
The Big Show and Mini-Me. The little one is Mini-Me from Austin Powers. Yeah.
I was saying who that was. Okay.
Yeah, the one who gets ignorant
of wrestling.
Right, yes.
So, yeah, it was, the Giant back then, because this was WCW time back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it was Big Show was the Giant one, and Vern Troyer was the one Big Show punches across the warehouse.
Right.
And that awfully terrible looking flying through the air scene.
He went flying.
Oh, my God. My favorite part of that was when he hits the first guy and he, like, backflips backwards. Like, it's like a real straight looking, really weird looking backflip. I just laughed out loud at that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was Jim Belushi, wasn't it?
Yeah. Where Jim Belushi's character. Yeah.
Yeah. Another very Looney Tunes moment where he falls back onto his head.
Yeah.
And then flips over as a plank. Yeah, it's.
I do have to say that I enjoy any scene, if not the whole movie, when someone punches Jim Belushi in the face.
I like Jim Belushi. He's all right.
Jim Belushi. Yeah, punched in the face. That's half a thumb right there.
But there were some cool little pop-ups because I don't know if any of you watch 30 Rock, but when Dr. Spaceman turns up as one of the.
Genius
people working at the toy shop that laughs at him when he says he needs a Turbo Man.
Mm-hmm.
That was a nice little thing. That was his first movie too, his first movie role.
Obviously, because you have Phil Hartman, like Lionel Hutz. That's just what I was thinking the whole time I was seeing any scene with him. But then you get Lisa as well.
Yeah, that was a cool one because I didn't know she was in it. And the problem with her is her real voice is Lisa.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
You know, at least Phil Hartman overplays it to be Troy McClure. And Lionel Hutz, it's not just his natural voice, not as much as Yardley Smith anyway.
But always with the sleazy character.
Always.
There's always this. He's always sleazy in some way or another. And that got a little weird too when it's okay, I'm just going to hit on Rita Wilson. Because like, that's the right
no
thing
shame
to do. Her husband's
too.
Not going to break me in half.
Yeah, right.
I want to know what karate classes they were going to, because I want to rock up there and have all the women bloody hit on me. That'd be a hell of a lot of fun.
Because that's what self-defense is all about.
Yeah, while the kids are doing their things, or the women are inviting me over to fix their light bulbs and make me pies and stuff. Awesome.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, so this, I don't know if the plot of this movie is contrived because prior to this movie, I don't know that it was done or overdone, maybe. But it was based on real sort of frenzies like this with other toys. The big one being Cabbage Patch Kids. When that came out, the year that came out, that was a similar thing to Turbo Man, how it was the hot toy that nobody could buy and it was sold out weeks before Christmas and caused big shopping stampedes like this.
Malibu Station.
I thought this sort of worked as like a good satire on that. I don't know how intentional it was. But on consumers and in general, like the kid reciting the commercials like word for word.
Yeah.
Like Sinbad's run at the very start outside the store. It's like, that's completely true. Like everything you're saying.
Yeah, that was one of definitely my favorite Sinbad scene of the whole thing. Unfortunately, he got it out of the way very fast.
Yeah.
And then he tries to choke somebody in the crowd.
Yeah, that was also random because he picks a woman too, of all things. Like, not even a dude. Like, come on, man. But
did
this,
Did they make a Turbo Man toy to capitalize on this movie?
They did, but the problem was, okay, so Arnold was originally going to be making a Planet of the Apes remake, the one that stalled for many years and eventually became the, I say this facetiously, amazing Tim Burton remake.
Yeah, total classic.
With Marky Mark. So because that fell through at the time, he ended up being able to do this movie. And that only left about 6 months before the movie was set to open. So there wasn't enough time to like really promote the Turbo Man figures. So a certain number were made. You can buy them on eBay if you want to spend the money.
Are they collectors?
Yeah, because there's not that many of them. I think when I was looking on eBay, but it was in New Zealand dollars, they were up around the $500 to $700 mark.
Holy!
Yeah. And also the, I think it's, what was it called? The Johnny 7 OMA gun, I think it was called. The one that Sinbad talks about in the bar. That was the toy he wanted when he was a kid because it was seven guns in one. Mm-hmm. You can buy that on eBay as well. For a
what about Booster? Are they just giving those away?
Yeah, I don't even know if they actually made Boosters.
No love for the sidekick.
They should have made Booster.
Sinbad did say that they did a prototype of the bad guy that, you know, the with the brain, the supervillain he plays. But it never went to mass production. So there was only really Turbo Man that you could buy and still can if you want to fork out all the secondary market money. Yeah, so that's a good question. But yeah, so as I said, so this was based on like the Friends Who Serve Cabbage Patch Kids, Tickle Me Elmo, and all of those sort of toys. And the opening scene, you surely your kids liked the opening scene, the Power Rangers, you know, when it's showing the Turbo Man TV show.
Oh yeah, they love that.
Yeah. So that was a direct homage to Power Rangers, which was very clear.
That was a good effort, I thought, for like just like a random scene stuck in the movie that's not really part of it. Like actually making that little scene on TV was quite cool.
Yeah, that would have been a cool special feature to put in, like if this movie had come out later and, you know, had when special features were actually a thing people wanted and or could get, that would have been a cool thing to just do one episode.
Watch the mini movie. Yeah.
Because nice. I found that rather enjoyable. It was a nice way to open the movie too. And then seriously, I think I haven't seen this movie since probably the 90s. And obviously this was before Phantom Menace. And after it did that opening with the Power Rangers style TV show, then it cuts to Jake Lloyd watching it. I'm like, oh damn, Anakin Skywalker's in this movie.
Yeah, likewise.
And like, honestly, because I completely forgot that he was the kid in this movie and forgot he had actually done anything else prior to being in The Phantom Menace. Oh man, so that was a nice surprise. And seeing the credits come up with Phil Hartman's name, as we said, was a nice, pleasant surprise as well.
Always a bonus, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't know. We've sort of only really talked about the third act because of it sort of taking a dive a bit. Yeah.
Well, the rest of it is kind of cookie cutter, though. I mean, you know, the setup's pretty standard, you know. Dead, you know, neglectful parent kind of thing. Kind of funny setup. You're thinking, okay, so he's going to learn a lesson at the end. He'll figure something out.
Yeah.
And you know, it all pretty much follows the track, and so you know where it's going, and that's fine. As you say, it's a Christmas movie. Yeah, and then Turbo Man.
Mm. Yeah, and I didn't even mind that he was Turbo Man and all that. It was just once he started flying around and
yeah,
like you said, how ridiculous it was. The most cringy part of that whole thing was, like you said, when he hit us into the wall.
Yeah.
And he's just vibrating against the wall because the jetpack's pushing.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's...
Jake Savory. Just,
yeah, very much. It was, yeah, we've said it already. It was a live-action Looney Tunes, but I guess if you think about it like that, it's probably less cringy if you went into it thinking it that way.
Yeah. It's some good superpower too, to know the names of all the kids in the crowd and to be able to call out this kid by name. I thought that was quite clever.
But can I just say, when you're
I'm just picking holes now. I'm aware that I'm just picking holes.
No, because I thought the same. But the fact that
they don't recognize it.
Yeah, you're standing right in front of your dad, voice modulator or not, because that voice modulator, you'd still hear his voice if you're that close. And he's got, come on, Turbo Man doesn't have an Austrian accent. The voice modulator changes his voice, it doesn't change his accent. You can see his face. He doesn't wear a mask. He's got a visor. The mother doesn't even recognize him. His own wife. It's like, I know he's not around a lot, and that's established, but he's not around that much. Oh, man. I was just like, come on, dude.
Which one's your dad? I think it's that one.
Seriously. He was like, not till he takes the mask off and is about to deliver the Darth Vader line of I am your father. And I was like, that is cool, because obviously Jake Lloyd as Anakin grows up to be Darth Vader. It was nice. And obviously completely unintentional, because that movie didn't exist yet.
And they say Clark Kent's disguise can't work.
Oh, seriously. That just... I didn't even cringe or hate that. I just found it hilarious. That was just so absurd.
What I found hilarious after that is that the wife's all swooning over him because he's in a Turbo Man suit.
Yeah,
but throughout the whole movie, she's just like, meh, you're there. Okay, it's all good. But once he puts a Turbo Man suit on, holy hell, hey, how you doing?
She even said it because she's like, Howard? It's like, dude.
It's like you're taking that suit home to have some fun, aren't you?
That's why she knows so much about Lady Turbo Man, because she obviously watches the show with her kid. Man, that was pretty funny. Oh, man. So anyway, I don't know. I enjoyed this movie. It was fun.
Did you all get to the end credits scene?
Yes, but on my version, that scene is at the end of the movie before the credits.
Yeah, same with me.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I watched it on Disney.
Right. So, was it on Disney Plus?
Yeah, I just went skip credits, and then it took me to the end scene.
Okay, so let's just make sure we're talking about the same thing. So, it's the scene where it's back in the house. Arnold puts the star on the tree, and Rita Wilson, his wife, Liz, I think her name is, says, you went through all this for your son to get him a present. What did you get me? Is that the scene?
That's the one.
Yeah, so that was... tacked on. So where does the movie actually end before the credits? Just with him waving his Turbo Man in the crowd?
Yeah, getting lifted up, lofted, going through the crowd.
Yeah, so on my version, they just faded out from that and into the other scene before the credits started. Mm-hmm. So anyway, you were going to talk about the end credits scene.
No, I just wondered if everybody had seen it. So what you made of it kind of thing. Nice little way to tie it off, I guess. It was a good gag.
I think it was a way to set up a sequel, being that it was an end credits scene.
Yeah, originally. Later that day.
And it was obviously didn't spawn a sequel, because boy, that'd be a hard. I mean, there is a sequel,
but it's got nothing to do with Turbo Man.
No, it's, and none of the characters are in it.
Yeah,
at all. It's Larry the Cable Guy, who is only good in those Cars movies.
Later.
Yep. Oh, he's quite amusing on what's that DVD you lent me? The Blue Collar.
Blue Collar Comedy Tour. Recommended. Yeah. Funny.
Yeah, he's pretty funny in that. He's my least favorite of the four, but yeah, he's still amusing. But yeah, the sequel has nothing. And you're going from Arnold Schwarzenegger to Larry the Cable Guy.
To be fair, if you were going to make a direct sequel to this movie, what would you have gone with? Some serious breaking and entering? Maybe, I don't know, walking into a post office with a bomb wrapped around you? You know? Just want to escalate the crime here, I'm feeling.
But also, what is it like? He's going to go.
Sinbad becomes Lex Luthor.
Yeah. But what would if the sequel was going to be based on that end credit scene, then what? He's going to go out on Christmas night to find her a present now?
Yeah.
And his Turbo Man suit.
Yeah.
And his Turbo Man, yeah.
To be fair, The Simpsons did that better. Homer's done that already.
Homer's done what?
Raced around on Christmas Eve trying to find a present for his wife. Yeah. Simpsons did it. It's been done.
Simpsons did everything. Yep. Let's talk about that quickly. Completely breaks and enters into Phil Hartman's house, into Ted's house.
And there's a fire going. Fire.
Because he just came out of the house.
No, he's been over baking cookies and stuff at the house with the wifey.
They were at his house, weren't they?
No, they were at her house.
At her place, yeah, because Annie calls home. What are you doing in the house? Eating in the shower, right? Yeah.
So he leaves the fire going, but Arnold breaks into his house. He smashes, by accident, I guess, the three wise men, one of whom's head rolls into the fire. And Arnold then proceeds to set his house on fire, break a window, steal a kid's toy, and get attacked by a rampaging reindeer.
But leave the reindeer inside, so hopefully it burns down with the house.
Yep, and none of this was loud enough to overcome the carolers outside and alert anybody to anything.
Phil Hartman's character doesn't even really care either. He's like a little disappointed, but some dude just broke into your house, set it on fire, and you're like, okay. Yeah.
There was no talk of, oh, my insurance will cover it, or I'm going to call the police. Yeah. It was, yeah. Jeepers, man. That scene was, oh, you talk about Sinbad taking the reality away from this movie. That was crazy. I didn't even mind punching the reindeer. It fit to the tone. It fit to the boiling over of Arnold's character.
Was that a real reindeer?
It was a real reindeer. Not that got punched.
No. Like when they're getting a drunk. Were they getting a real reindeer drunk?
Probably it was water. I don't think the Humane Society would have allowed them to feed a beer. But yeah, it was a real reindeer. The only time they used a puppet was the cringy scene where after he gets punched, it lifts its head up and groans. Man, I hate that stuff. obviously getting punched was not a real reindeer, as we said. So, yeah. Everything?
Good family fun.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a cheesy Christmas family movie.
It is. Suspend logic and enjoy.
Yep. It's not Home Alone, which avoids a lot of the cheesy trappings of a family movie, but it's still fun. And as I said, I'll enter it into my rotation because it was fun, especially as my kids get older. They can watch this. And,
what is your Christmas rotation, just off topic? Besides Die Hard?
It's Die Hard every year, and I'll also throw in a Home Alone every now and then. I Love Actually pops up every now and then. I should really put Gremlins in too, but yeah, it's just Die Hard usually.
Okay.
What are your guys' go-to holiday movies? Do you have one?
Christmas movies, I don't know, it's sort of old school, but you'd like see what's on like TV, what they're just like actually playing on like whatever TV channel, and Die Hard a bit. Used to watch a lot of Bad Santa. I've seen that quite a few years. Santa, yeah. I think mostly those two.
Does anybody ever watch a movie about actual Christmas?
Yes, I do.
Miracle on 34th Street or something like that. Yeah. Yes, Mike. We know.
What's yours, Brian? Is it The Holiday or Love Actually? Or
Both of those.
Okay.
Yeah. That'll do.
And
hey, Kate,
what about Miracle on 34th Street?
Yeah, good movie. I've seen It's a Wonderful Life, didn't like it. Blasphemy.
Blasphemy, I haven't even seen it yet.
Those are my go-tos. Hey, look, you know, Sound of Music pops up. It always comes on at Christmas. It's not a Christmas movie, but basically some TV channel in New Zealand shows it every year. So from a New Zealand point of view, it's a Christmas movie.
Yeah, I couldn't remember if it was Christmas or Easter that they play that movie on all the time.
Christmas, all the time.
But that is a good movie. Clayton, what's your Christmas go-to?
So my Christmas go-to changes every year because I will gladly admit this, I love Christmas movies so much that Hallmark actually starts releasing their Christmas movies in October. So I get all the Hallmark Christmas movies and just put them on Christmas Day. And there's about 20 of them. By the time you get from October to December, there's about 20 of them.
Starring the same four people, probably.
Yeah pretty much. All the stories are the same. Yeah. About three between all 20 movies are all somewhat the same at the end of it. But, I mean, it's decent enough where when my boys come around, they can sit there and watch it. It's family friendly. It's sweet. And it's very homely in relation to the Christmas story. You know, it's about coming together, family, love, and all that kind of cool jazz. Not so much the religious side of Christmas.
No terrorists and taking over towers.
But as another podcast I listened to pointed out, Die Hard does follow the pattern of most Hallmark Christmas movies, especially as Clayton just explained them. So, it's a Christmas movie.
It is a Christmas movie.
It is, yeah.
I'm too smart to argue with you about that, but you are correct, yeah.
Yep, we went and watched it, Jared, Brian, mm-hmm. and I went and watched on the big screen a couple of weeks ago. It was glorious mm-hmm. and very, very Christmassy. Cool. All right, so let's do a... Okay, well, does anyone have a favorite scene? Do you have a favorite scene, Jared?
Maybe the Santa fight. I don't
know. Yeah, that was pretty good.
It was, yeah, bits out funny. It was good. Big Show was there.
Not just for Big Show, yeah. A much more trim Big Show back in the 90s, too.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Clayton, do you have a favorite scene?
Yeah, Santa fight.
Okay. Ryan, do you have a favorite scene?
Yeah, the Santa fight, I guess. Any scene with Phil Hartman in it was fun.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Phil Hartman. But yeah, Santa fight, dog pile, why not?
Yeah, so this is going to be like Shape of Water when we all had the same favorite scene.
Dog pile!
It's, yeah, Santa fight's good. As I said, I do like that rant Sinbad has when he first meets Arnold outside the toy shop. Yeah.
What do you guys think of how he gets out after all the cops bust in and bust
him? Oh, yeah.
Oh, sorry. Gosh.
Yes, good reminder. Yeah, the way he blags his way out by finding a fake badge.
Yeah.
And nobody can tell the difference.
It obviously carries that bit on for a long time, too.
Yeah, and I was thinking every time he met a different cop, he was going to get busted. I know he made it all the way out, but bigger question. Sinbad went through all of this. He flipped his switch a little bit and went full psycho.
He went postal.
He went, nice.
Oh,
nice.
Oh.
He went postal.
I'm so proud.
You win the podcast.
That's a proud moment.
It had to be done.
It did. So he gets no redemption, really, but Jake Lloyd, of Jamie, the son, gives him the Turbo Man because why do I need a Turbo Man when my dad is Turbo Man? Like he's going to be allowed to take the suit home.
He so did, though.
Yeah, yeah. That was his wife's Christmas present.
Oh, yes.
But what was I going to say now? So anyway, Sinbad goes through all this, ends up getting the toy for his son, but is clearly going to be locked up for Christmas because there is no way he's going home.
You can have the toy when you come to visit Daddy on visiting day.
Yep. The limited edition Turbo Man, which they didn't explain what the difference was with the normal toy. That irked me. All right, cool. Do you have... Oh, and I'd like to say one thing before we go on to the trivia, is Arnold might not be a great actor, but man, he pulls some interesting facials in this movie. Like, some very interesting expressions. Oh, man. Okay. MVP. Jared's clearly going to be Big Show.
No. Phil Hartman. Definitely.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
And it'll be the same for Brian, I assume.
No, the reindeer.
Nice.
No. Yes. Yes, the reindeer. Yes.
Come on, Phil Hartman. It's Lionel Hutz.
Yeah.
Sam Brannigan.
You keep saying Lionel Hutz and not Troy McClure.
I like Lionel Hutz.
Yeah.
Miguel
He's
Sanchez.
One of my favorite characters. So yeah, good, Lionel Hutz.
He was good. It's sad that... Let's say we lost Phil Hartman in the way we lost him or at all, but it's also very sad that we don't have those characters on The Simpsons anymore.
No. And great that they never recast. It was
very good. Yeah.
It was what it was. Plus, you know, there was a Planet of the Apes reference before and, you know, Troy McClure did do the Planet of the Apes musical.
Oh, that was glorious. That was so good.
Dr. Zayas. Phil Hartman.
Oh man. Might have to edit that clip in now.
Oh, help me, Dr. Zayas.
Dr. Zayas. Dr. Zayas.
What's wrong with me?
I think you're crazy.
Want a second opinion?
You're all so lazy.
Clayton.
From my boys, it's Sonic the Hedgehog. From me, it's Turbo Man.
Oh, nice. Okay.
But not Arnold as Arnold. I mean, just every scene that Turbo Man is, just Turbo Man the character.
Yep, cool. For me, it's two. So Arnold, because he is very charismatic, and I just love watching him on screen. Whether he can act or not, I don't care. He's a staple of my childhood, and I'll watch pretty much anything he's in. And Phil Hartman, because as creepy as he is, in this whole movie. He's just hilarious and so fun to watch and sorely missed. Cool. All right. Well, we've done this a bit out of order, but let's run through some trivia and then we can wrap it up and let everyone get on with their Christmas. So here's the trivia.
Here's the facts.
Okay, so managed to hit a lot of our normal notes, have some alternate casting. Chris Columbus, who, as we said, was the producer of this and directed Home Alone, wanted Joe Pesci to play Myron, the mailman, Sinbad's character, but he was deemed to be too short, being that he's only 5'3", too short when he stood next to Arnold, because Arnold is 6'2". This was despite the fact that Schwarzenegger had previously appeared in two movies alongside the very short Danny DeVito. Tim Allen was considered for the role of Howard, which was Arnold's role. And I feel like this would have been a huge precursor to Buzz Lightyear.
That's during the Home Improvement stage, yep. Yeah?
Yeah, I'd say so. Yep. So this... Actually, when did this come out? No, not a precursor. Toy Story was already around, because this is the year after Toy Story. Yeah. So it's probably a good reason to have him not be in this movie as well.
And then we wouldn't have got the Santa Clauses. We might not have got the Santa Clauses.
They are a decent movie.
Yeah, they're fun, those.
Yeah.
Fun movie.
They are.
We can think about that for next year, maybe, as well. All right, so moving on to other facts. In March of 2001, so 5 years after this came out, a U.S. District Court jury in Birmingham, Michigan, ruled that 20th Century Fox stole the script idea for Jingle All the Way from a Detroit high school biology teacher. The studio was ordered to pay $19 million,
what?
Which was later reduced to $1.5 million. The teacher had submitted a script called Could This Be Christmas to the studio in 1994, so 2 years before this movie came out. Never received payment or credit, despite the film Jingle All the Way making $129
million.
Wow. 20th Century Fox appealed, the verdict was reversed, and since the guy's script was submitted after the studio had already purchased a treatment for this movie, they reversed the decision. So the guy, I think, got nothing in the end. So
did they rip off his script or no?
They had the decision reversed because it was proven that they had already purchased a treatment.
Was that
a script or outline, a summary or outline of a movie, and not a full script from someone else?
Oh, okay.
And that just goes to show that there is no real original Christmas movies because multiple people came up with the same idea, and that's not hard to believe. Okay, as I said before, the story is based on the 1980s shopping frenzy over the Cabbage Patch dolls. However, it was timed perfectly because the same exact thing happened in 1996 with Tickle Me Elmo, the same year this came out. As we said, Vern Troyer, Mini-Me from Austin Powers, has an uncredited role as the little Santa that gets punched across the warehouse by Big Show. And as we said many times, Big Show cameos as the big giant Santa. Phil Hartman and Sinbad, this is their third movie together. They were in House Guest in 1995 and Coneheads in 1993. It's the third movie where Arnold Schwarzenegger teams up with Jim Belushi after being in Red Heat and Last Action Hero prior to this. Arnold Schwarzenegger's fourth appearance as the lead in a comedy film after Twins, Kindergarten Cop, and Junior, which we mentioned earlier as well. Now, this is a cool one. There's a scene in the movie after they, and we didn't talk about this, go and storm the radio station to try and get the Turbo Man figure. That was a giveaway by the DJ. And then Arnold walks out and his car's been stripped. And he has to get it towed. The tow truck driver is the same actress who played the wrong Sarah Connor in the first Terminator movie. When bad Terminator, Arnold, in the first movie, is door knocking and looking for the Sarah Connors, and she opens the door and says yes, and he's like, Sarah Connor, and then blows her away.
Sarah Connor?
Yes.
I
That's her. Now she's a tow truck driver. The extra scene we talked about at the end credits, this is more just for us here in New Zealand. The extra scene was omitted from the VHS release in New Zealand. So I don't know if that means they stitched it on the end like the version I saw, or if it was just gone. I thought that was really random that it was just the New Zealand one.
Weird thing to do.
Yeah.
And we don't like Christmas.
Now, I'll finish off with some superhero references because we all love those, and it's very obvious. Arnold Schwarzenegger. So hang on. The film features two actors who have played a Batman villain. Arnold Schwarzenegger, who played Mr. Freeze in the, again, facetiously amazing Batman and Robin movie. And Richard Mole had a small part in this movie as well, and he plays Harvey Dent, Two-Face, in Batman the Animated Series. Another link to the superhero stuff is where Jim Belushi's Santa takes Arnold to the warehouse to get his Turbo Man figure. The password to get in is Jingle Bells Batman Smells. So it's a nice reference too. And Arnold Schwarzenegger, obviously, and I think we mentioned this when we talked about Batman Returns, is in a photo with Max Schreck in Max Schreck's office in Batman Returns. And then obviously he went on, as we said, to play Mr. Freeze. So there you go.
So Jingle Bells Batman Smells in a movie that heavily promotes Marvel Comics?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yep. Who would go on to be the one saving grace of Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can all agree on that at least.
Low bar, but yes.
Low bar, but yes.
Agreed.
Not a good Mr. Freeze, but for that movie, a great Mr. Freeze. But,
yeah, the standout character of Batman and Robin.
100%. Cool. So that is our little ramble about Jingle All the Way, the oft-forgot Christmas movie that we wanted to watch. And let's do our quick thumbs up before we leave. Jared, how many thumbs up?
It's a hard system, just the thumbs, but I don't want to go more than Shape of Water, which is 1.5, so I'll just stick with one.
Okay, one thumb. Brian?
One, half of which is for punching Jim Belushi and the reindeer. No, not the reindeer. I like the reindeer. And the other half a thumb is because it's Christmas.
Oh, no half for Phil Hartman.
Oh, yeah. I got hung up on the punching of Jim Belushi. Yeah, there you go. That'll do. There's my one.
So one. Clayton?
Yeah, I'm going to give it one, half for the Sonic and half for punching the reindeer and also getting the reindeer drunk. There you go.
Okay, nice. Yeah, and I'll give this a solid one, so it's a 50% movie. Nice. That was a nice, easy one to work out. Mm-hmm. All right. So the Heritage Film Club scores this movie 50%. It's no Die Hard, but it's still a worthwhile addition to your Christmas collection. All right. And with that, as always, feel free to follow us on social medias at Heritage Film Pod on Instagram and Facebook. And you can email us with your comments at heritagefilmpod@gmail.com. And remember, we've got a Spotify playlist that Jared is putting together, and I'm sure we'll add some nice Christmassy music as part of this movie's entry to the playlist. So we will see you next time. We are going to... Now, what have we decided, guys? We're going to come back at the end of January, right, with a new episode?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. So, 31st of January. It'll be Jared's pick. Enjoy your Christmas. Have a safe and happy holidays. And we'll see you back on the 31st with Jared's pick, which will be...
So, last time I picked, I went quite dark with Heavenly Creatures. So, I'm thinking to bring in the new year, I'm going to go quite dark again. So this movie is written by Taylor Sheridan. It's his final installment of what he calls the American Frontier Trilogy, the first two being Sicario and Hell or High Water. It's also his directorial debut. There's an Avengers reunion for Jeremy Renner and Elizabeth Olsen, and it is a 2017 film called Wind River.
Nice. Okay. So Wind River is the next movie?
Yep.
All right. So that's, not counting this movie, three standard episodes all which were 2017 movies in a row. So, very good. Okay, so join us on the 31st where we discuss Wind River. Go and have a watch. You've got nothing better to do. You're on holidays. And until then, we are out.
Merry Christmas!
Loved what you've heard on this week's episode? Well, the answer is simple. It would mean the world to us if you could head over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review and feedback. Spreading the word really is the best way to grow our podcast and achieve even greater things. Thank you.
That's the end. Thanks for listening.